long as there is time, we'll hold up the light. Let it brightly shine. Through the years we see the lives that He's redeemed as the man. Was made known, so we'll keep sharing Christ no matter what the price, till our Savior calls us home. We'll hold up the light, we won't be ashamed to go and tell the world that Jesus saves. We'll proclaim the shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine, let it shine. We'll hold up the light. We won't be ashamed to go and tell the world that Jesus saves. We'll truth, as long as there is time, we'll hold up the light. We'll hold up the light. We'll hold up the light. Let it shine.
Isn't it good for us all to know that we are on God's mind right now? Amen. And there's no mistakes with God. I had the opportunity to preach in a Cambodian service first hour and reminded them that Isaiah 55 says that God's ways are not our ways. And God's mind is not our mind. And what we need to do is not try to change God's mind. We need to get our mind and our way in line with His plan. Amen. And so thank the Lord that we can rest assured that God's in control. And this whole circumstance with Preacher, and he's our friend, he's our mentor, he's our leader, he's our family, and our hearts hurt. But what I want to challenge you to do for the next few moments, for about a half hour, is let's block everything else out. Let's remember the purpose that we met here together this morning, and that's because of the Missions Conference. Okay? And there's someone that you can reach. Okay, so we want to think about that this morning. I bring you greetings from the team there in Cambodia, and everything is going well. I could stand up here literally and talk for hours about the miracles God is working, lives that are being changed. You know, the greatest miracle ever performed is when God saves a sinner. Amen? And so I can tell you God is working miracles in Phnom Penh and Kampong Chhanang and Kandao Province and other places. And thank you for holding the ropes here at home. And I'm serious. I want to convey that from our team, from myself, from my family. You folks not only are being faithful here, soul winning, putting up a building, you're praying for your missionaries around the world. I know that we are having victory there in Cambodia because of your prayers. And when you don't pray, we know it. And when you do pray, we know it. Okay? It's very, very important. I know Brother Esposito would say the same thing there in the country where he's serving. And that's very important. We need your prayers. Thank you for being faithful. I know you're stretched many different directions. But thank you so much for being faithful in your commitment, your faith promise commitment. It's very, very important. And Lord willing, when as I'm on my way over to L.A., they will play a short video clip. I apologize for the quality of the audio. We're not using very good equipment over there, and there's almost never a quiet time for us to record, and so you're going to hear all kinds of background noise and mopeds and horns and trucks and children screaming, and it's chaotic. Welcome to my world of chaos, okay? So I just want you to experience that a little bit. They spoke in Khmer. We had probably 20 to 30 folks with just short testimony, just thanking you as a church family for being faithful here and for sending missionaries and for not forgetting about them on the other side of the world. And so I put their testimonies in English on the bottom. So you'll hear all the chaos, but hopefully you'll be able to read the English. And our church family over there is indebted to you here. I just want you to know that. And so let's stand together. We would like to look at a few verses here in Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel 33. And I want to talk, if we had more time, there's so much I could say about this passage. Basically, we're going to read it and then get right into the challenge. But this morning, I want us to see that God wants to use a man. I don't think I would be doing this passage wrongly if I were to say God wants to use a woman as well. And God's just looking for a man or a woman, a young person, who'll be willing to see and be willing to warn. To see and to warn. That's going to be my challenge this morning. Are you a man? Are you a woman that's willing to see what God sees? And will you be a man and a woman or a woman that will warn the people around you of the judgment that's coming? And that's really why we're here this morning, is to be reminded that all of us are to be seers. And we're all to be those who warn, those who blow the trumpet. Ezekiel chapter 33, we're going to read verses 1 through 7. And then I'll pray and we'll be seated. Ezekiel 33, 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts. Notice it says a man. By the way, this morning, you're just one person. You're an individual, but you are important to God. You're important to the Great Commission. A man. Don't ever think because you're one person that you can't do something. One person can make a difference, amen? So take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman. If, when he seeth the sword, let's say together the word seeth the sword. Okay. So the watchman, this man that's chosen, is going to see the sword. If, when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. If the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman into the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for the privilege that's given to us to gather together this morning without fear that people will come in and try to prevent us from worshiping you, from gathering together, Lord, from reading your word. So many places around the world, they don't have this privilege that we have. Help us not to take it lightly. I pray for the next few moments you'd help each of us to think about this simple concept that God wants to use each of us to see what you see and then to warn those around us of coming judgment. Lord, I pray for those that are here this morning that are not walking in your way. Lord, I pray that you would convict their hearts, that you would draw each of us closer together because we've been here. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. So here we see a man, not just any man, but we see a man that sees and warns. This morning at about 4:30, because I'm still on Cambodian time, amen. So for me, it is actually 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm wide awake. Brother E, are you sleepy at all? Okay, you're older than me, so that I understand that, okay? I just have a few minutes to get at him, but it's good, okay? So I woke up this morning. Actually, I woke up at 1:30 and got up and read my Bible for a little bit. 4:30, I went out and took a walk and then came back to the hotel, and I decided to look through Ezekiel chapter 1 all the way through the end, and I wanted to count a phrase that you see over and over in the book of Ezekiel, a phrase that says this, that they may know that I am the Lord, that they may know that I am the Lord. And I counted 46 times in the book of Ezekiel that God said he wanted the people to know that he is the Lord. By the way, let me say this morning. God wants us right here at Pacific Baptist Church to know that he is the Lord. He's in control, amen? He wants those in our neighborhood to know that he's the Lord. You've sent me and the team around the world. Why? Because God wants people everywhere, every kindred, every tribe, every tongue, to know that he is the Lord. You say, what are you doing over there in Cambodia? We're simply proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. Now, people can like it or they can lump it, but the fact is Jesus is Lord. And this book of Ezekiel, over and over, we're reminded that God is the only God. And this morning, verse number 3, we see this. It says, if, when this watchman seeth the sword come. First of all, I want to say this morning, a watchman is someone who sees. Let me ask you this. What do you see? What do you see? Can I tell you this? One of the hardest places, I believe, to live a solid, committed, faithful life for the Lord Jesus Christ is right here in the United States of America. I believe that our people there in Cambodia who take persecution, and if I had time, I could tell you fresh stories from the last time I was here in January of new families that have come to Christ that right now are enduring serious persecution. But I think it's easier for them to take the persecution than it is sometimes for us here in America to see what God wants us to see right here in America. What do you see this morning? There are some things that I want to remind us that we ought to see, just two simple things this morning. I want each of us to be reminded and to see that life is short and death is real. Life is short and death is real. I've been told that every minute of every day, there's 143 people that pass into eternity. That's 8,580 people an hour. I got here to church this morning at 7:30. So from 7:30 until about the time our service started this morning, approximately 25,740 people around the world pass into eternity. Do you see that? Do you see the people around you on a daily basis who don't know the Lord? They don't know that Jesus is God. They don't know that He's the only Lord. If they were to pass into eternity, where would they be? Do you see that? This morning I checked my email, and you know, it's like sometimes when you're going to have to get up and preach, you ought not to check your emails. I need to learn that lesson. It seems like every time I always forget and I check my emails. And last Saturday, my wife and I there in Phnom Penh went and visited a lady named Ming Chen, 63 years old, I believe. And we've been trying to witness to her for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Last Saturday, my wife and I went, and there was a funeral right out in front of her house. Many, many Chinese Cambodians were gathered there chanting, and there were Buddhist monks. And as we cut through that Buddhist ceremony, something happened. It's never happened to me before in Cambodia. A little girl came up to me, probably 10 years old, pointed at me and said, "You're the devil." I said, "Wow." Cut through there, got to Ming Chen's house. She was not in very good condition. Her health had deteriorated just over the last couple weeks to the point where she really couldn't understand what we were talking about. And the news that I received this morning was 3 days ago, she passed into eternity. Wow. Where is she at? My guess is, unless God worked a miracle in her heart and helped her to be able to understand the gospel, my guess is she's not in a very good place right now. Do you see the people around you on a daily basis that may not be here tomorrow? We're reminded with Pastor's situation Thursday night. He was here. Seemed like everything was good. He was strong. He's always on top side. That's one thing about our pastor. You never know when he's feeling good or he's not feeling good because he's always on top side. Amen. That's a good model for us. I remember leaving here about 9:30 on Thursday evening and seeing Pastor out talking to the missionaries and a couple other folks were here. 10 till 10 and got a text. Pastor's in emergency room. Wow. Things change quickly, don't they? Do you see the situation going on around you? This morning I took a walk at 4:30, as I mentioned. And you know, God has divine appointments for us. Do you believe that? So I'm out walking by myself. I have no idea if the neighborhood's gone downhill worse than before. I have no idea. I used to know the neighborhood's pretty good, but I decided I'm going to risk it. I had on my running shoes. I knew I could outrun anybody, okay? I'm pretty sure. Streets were totally quiet. Went over and looked at our old church building. Just want to look at it. Iglesia something. Now, I don't know what it is, but looked in there for a little while. Cut back. Started heading back towards where I'm staying. And out of the shadows, I heard a sound. "Got a cigarette?" I said, "Wow." I said, "No, my wife is the one that smokes. I don't smoke, okay?" "Got a cigarette?" I looked back, and there was a woman laying there in a sleeping bag right there on the sidewalks trying to sleep. I said, "No, sorry, I don't smoke." And I kept right on walking. And then I remembered my message this morning. Am I a seer? What did I just see? I just saw one of a creation that God made, someone that God made, laying there in the gutter, sleeping in a sleeping bag at 4:30 in the morning. God smote my heart and said, "What kind of a missionary are you?" And I went back to my hotel room. I got some money. I got some food. I got some water. I got a friend day track, and with fear and trembling that the police were going to arrest me for talking out there, and who knows what they think I'm doing out there, went and tracked her down and said, "Are you hungry?" She said, "I'm hungry." I said, "Here's some food. Do you like fruit?" "I like fruit." "Here's some water." I said, "Can I give you this money?" Her eyes perked up. She said, "Yeah, I'll take that." I gave her a track. just for a few minutes, sat there on the sidewalk with her at 4:30 this morning, just a few blocks from here, and witnessed to her. I said, why don't you come to church? We'd be glad to have you. Do you see the people around you? By the way, the situation here in America is not getting better. Okay, don't believe the TV evangelists that say they just feel like a great revival is getting ready to break out. I don't see that. I don't see that in the Bible. The end times is going to get worse and worse, but that doesn't mean that Christians' lives have to get worse and worse. We're supposed to keep our faith in God. We're supposed to be seeing the mission that's all around us. Yesterday when we were out soul winning, and I was with Brother Chip, and Brother Chip has the gift of gab. I don't know what happened. He disappeared on me. And I'm in the parking lot all by myself, so I decided, well, let me see what's around me, seeing as how I'm preaching on seeing tomorrow. You know what I saw? I saw a Buddhist monk in his orange robe and his shaved bald head, looked kind of like Brother Pineda, okay? You're not a Buddhist monk, are you? All right. Brother, no, his was a little bit too shaved. His was more like yours, okay? And you know, I always tell our people in Cambodia, I say, listen, we hand out tracts to anybody. If they're rich and they're driving a Land Cruiser, give them a tract. Now, that puts fear and trembling into the hearts of our people. Because usually the folks with the Land Cruisers, they also have a gun, okay, and a high position in the government, and they don't like Christians telling them that they're sinners. So do it anyway, okay? If we see poor people, give them a tract. I said, if you see a Buddhist monk, give them a tract. And you know, our people are very bold over there to do that. So I thought, well, I need to practice since I have an opportunity, and I'm right here in America, and a monk doesn't dare hit me because I'm in America. Now, in Cambodia, they might hit you. Their people might get really upset. You're trying to proselytize their monk. So I went up to the monk, and I started speaking Cambodian to him. He looked at me, and he said, in perfect English, he said, I don't speak Cambodian. I said, wow. Now, I said, well, what do you speak? He said, I'm from Thailand. So then I spoke Thai to him, and his eyes got big. And I don't speak much Thai. I speak just enough to trick people into thinking I speak Thai. Amen? Okay. He said, what are you doing here? Of course, I knew he's a missionary to America. By the way, you're sending Christian missionaries around the world? Lord willing, God will raise up some of you to go to China. This has been heavy on pastor's heart. I hope we're all beginning to buy into this vision. Okay. But they are sending missionaries here. And so this man was sent from Bangkok, Thailand, to serve as a Buddhist missionary. And I asked him, I said, well, where's your temple? He said, oh, over on 3rd Street. I said, 3rd and Molino? He said, yeah. I said, yeah, I know the building. For those of you who don't know, our church came this close. We put $15,000 down on that building. We lost $15,000. Was that 15, your thousand? 15,000 you gave? That's right, you gave $1.50, okay? It was someone else, okay? What a sad, sad thing, church, that a church building, no doubt was, I don't know what denomination built it, but no doubt it's an old enough building, no doubt that the people that built that, even if it's a denomination, it's way off right now, in those days it was probably gospel preaching. And now I met a Buddhist monk who is using that building as a monastery. Do you see the need around you? The Bible here says we're not only just to see, but we're to do more than see. We're to warn people. Okay, before I get on to that, we need to see life is short. I'm jumping ahead of myself here because I'm nervous about the clock. There in Cambodia, I usually preach for at least an hour, sometimes an hour and a half. Okay, and I mentioned to our folks the other day, some of them travel from quite a ways, and I said, sorry for keeping you so long. We had Bible Institute, and it went for 4 hours. The class was 4 hours long. I said, sorry for keeping you for so long. And they said, Pastor, we didn't travel all this way so that we could hurry up and go back home, okay? So I'm trying to deal with this whole 29 minutes of preaching. It's getting to me, okay? So we need to see that life is short and death is real. Life is short and death is real. Second of all, let me ask you this. Do you see how much God has blessed you right here in America? And do you know why God has blessed you? Can I tell you that some of our church members right now, and our faithful church members there in Cambodia, last night they slept, or right now, 1 o'clock in the morning, they are sleeping in a house that's flooded. Many of our church members' homes are flooded this month. Some of the homes are 15 feet underwater, and so obviously they're not sleeping in those homes. They had to find somewhere else to sleep. Several of our village ministries can no longer meet where we've been meeting for the last several months. As of the last two or three weeks, we had to find a new place to meet. The church building that our seniors helped to build when they were there a few months ago, all underwater right now. So this morning, folks, if you woke up in a bed that was not floating in water, count your blessings. Count your blessings. I'm serious. I felt like I was back home in Cambodia this morning as I was walking down the street, and I heard what I thought was a cat running right beside me. And I've never seen a cat that had a long pointy nose and a long, long tail. He was not a cat. He was a rat, okay? By the way, the folks in our Vietnamese village, they would grab that rat and eat it. We're blessed. Do you see that you're blessed? And see, sometimes we don't think we're blessed because we look at what people around us have, and I have a tendency to, not just here in America, there in Cambodia, we have to constantly teach this to our people and remind it to us as missionaries. Let me ask you this. What in the world would draw an unsaved, materialistic Cambodian Buddhist who's living to get more and more and more, what would draw them to Christ if, when they look at Christians, they see a materialistic, money-hungry Christian? What would draw them to that? Absolutely nothing. And so let me ask us here in America, those people that are around us that we are supposed to be seeing, what do they see? Do they see a Christian who is fully content with God, fully trusting in God? Or do they see a Christian, a professing Christian, who is all bound up in the things of this earth? If they see that you and I desire the same fleshly, the same earthly, the same materialistic things that they desire, and we're living to get more and more, that could explain why they're not convicted to get saved. You know what has drawn many people to Christ there in Cambodia? It's been the persecution of our believers in a Muslim village. And when those unsaved people see the peace and contentment that our believers have, and how they can go to church and carry their Bible and be unashamed and sing and rejoice and be content, it convicts the unsaved person. And they wonder, how can this be? Let me ask you this. Not only are we to see, but we're to warn. When this watchman warned by blowing a trumpet. Now, a lot we could say about blowing a trumpet. By the way, you have to learn how to blow a trumpet. You don't just pick up a trumpet and blow it. He was highly skilled in doing that. And let me ask you this. As we blow the trumpet, are you blowing a sound that is distinctly Christian? What example are you and I putting forth to those people that are around us? I was smitten in my soul as I walked past the homeless lady that I said, no, I don't have a cigarette. And then I realized, wow, I'm a Christian. I'm a missionary. I'm going to be preaching on seeing. What kind of an example did she see in me when I said, no, I don't have a cigarette? And that's it. And thank God that God convicted me and had the opportunity. I'd wonder how many people we pass by on a daily basis. When we blow our trumpet, it's not a trumpet. It's some type of a little flutophone. Doesn't have much impact. Are you blowing a clear signal? A man who warns. I'm thankful for our believers there in Cambodia who are seeing what God wants them to see, and they're blowing the trumpet. I'm thinking about a lady who accepted Christ about 9 months ago. Her name is Srey, Bong Srey. And the soul winner from our church would go and meet with her and try to present the gospel to her, and she would literally cuss him out. She would curse him. And she did this week after week after week. One week she finally got saved, and she started coming to church, her and her daughter, and she gave testimony one week. She said, you know, the reason that I got saved is because when that Christian came to my home, and I cussed him out, and I told him he had betrayed his own people, and he was a disgrace to our country for following the foreigner's religion, as she called it. And I cursed him. Sure enough, a couple days later, he came right back with a smile on his face, another track, and said, would you please accept Christ as your Savior? And I'd curse him out again. He'd just keep coming. And she said, it finally dawned on me, man, he's got something that I want. Now, I wonder how many people that live around us, or how many people we work with, how many people we go to school with, how many family members would say, you know what? That Christian is the type of Christian that they won't give up on me. They see the need. They blow the horn. I don't receive it. They blow the horn again. They keep warning. Hey, I want to be that kind of a Christian. Can I be honest with you? I'm not always that type of Christian. Anybody else be honest enough to say, you know what? I see the need a lot of times, and I don't blow the horn. Okay? About four of us. I'll ask it again. How many of us would say, we're not? Okay, good. All right, good. Little interaction here. I was rebuked a month ago by one of our folks that I was trying to reach out to for weeks. I would go to their home. My wife and I would go to their home, Dadra and Soka. They live about six blocks from our church, and I would go and try to lead them to Christ, and it seemed like he was always drunk. And I tried to present the plan of salvation, try to win his heart, and he just wanted to talk nonsense with me. So I had this strategy that what I would do is I would just let off for a little while. And so I let off for about a month. One Wednesday night, he called me on the cell phone right before church started and said, Dave, where are you? I said, I'm at church. He says, Dave, why do you hate me? I said, what do you mean, why do I hate you? You hate me. I said, okay. I said, I don't want to talk about my hatred right now for you. I'm getting ready to preach, okay? I'll talk to you soon. So I went there in a couple days to visit him. Sure enough, he was drunk. And you know, drunk people, they don't usually lie. They tell the truth, don't they? Okay? I don't know, because I've never been intoxicated, but I've spent a lot of time with Brother Myers, and I remember him telling his old life, okay? And that's just the way it is. He told me he always tells the truth when he's whatever. Okay? You were lying, okay? So I'm sitting in his home, and he forced me to eat, okay? He had prepared food, and his wife was there, and he says, Dave, he's drunk. He says, Dave, you hate me. I said, I don't hate you. He says, you do hate me. I said, why do you say that? He said, you stopped visiting me. I said, I stopped visiting you because you weren't listening to anything I was saying. I want to give you a break. He says, you need to understand. And this is what he said. He said, my house is on fire and you have cold water and you're a Christian. You're supposed to be putting out the fire in my house. You don't love me enough to put out the fire. I'm like, ouch. He says, you know how to get to heaven, and you tell me, and I'm not listening. You think I'm not listening. I'm listening, but you quit telling me. You keep coming and keep telling me, keep warning me. He says, I want to believe. I'm just not believing yet. He said, don't give up on me. Wow. So I saw, but I had stopped warning. Let me ask you this. Our time is short here. Let me ask you this. Who in your life, while you're sitting here this morning, last few moments, who has God put on your heart? Our theme is there is someone you can reach. But let me say this. Our corporate soul winning on Tuesday nights is a great thing. Man, there was what, 200-300 folks here Tuesday night? That was awesome. That's great. And we do corporate soul winning there in Cambodia also. And that's one of the emphasis that we have several times a week. We join together as a church and we go out. But let me say this. When Jesus said, you're the light of the world, you're the salt of the earth, he wasn't referring to corporate time when we get on a bus and go out and knock on doors for 30 minutes. He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about a day in and day out, a life that we live that shows there's something different about us. And the Bible says we're all to be ready to give an answer when they ask us of the hope that lies within us. Let me ask you something. In the last year, how many people have asked you what's different about you? You say, well, of course they don't. Well, why not? They should. Now, there in Cambodia, we really stick out, and so it's more obvious, okay? But can I tell you something? Our Christians there, it's obvious who's saved and who isn't. They did a survey, some type of a survey, all different countries around the world, called the Misery Index. Okay. There were 155 nations surveyed. Cambodia ranked 148 as the most miserable nation in the world to live in. Out of 155. So close to the bottom. America was around number 12, if I remember right. Okay. So let me tell you this. Some of the happiest people I've ever met in my entire life are the Christians at our ministries there. Why? Because their light is shining. God's changed their life. They're grateful. By the way, when you live that type of a life, people will be drawn to you. They'll be drawn to you. We were at a restaurant before I came here. I think it was last Friday. We're sitting there eating. There's a Chinese-Cambodian restaurant. It's time to pay the bill, okay? So, wife, give me some money. She gives me an allowance, but it's not enough to cover the bill, okay? And so the waitress came over to us with the bill, and she bent down to me, and she said, "Now, sir, you guys are Christians, aren't you?" "Yes, we are." "Okay, well, you're going to get a 10% discount because you're a Christian." I said, "Well, praise the Lord, that's good. Like that, okay?" You say, "Well, that's easy because, you know, you're white. They assume you're Christian." Man, there's hundreds of white people over there smoking dope. Same thing in Laos. Do you see what it is that God wants you to see? Now, I know the big picture of this missions conference is the needs all around the world, but let me bring it back home here. Is there somebody, as our theme is stated there, is there somebody that you are supposed to reach? Are you seeing that person? Do you understand that person's right around you? It's your responsibility to reach them. Are you blowing a trumpet that's a clear signal? Can they see through your life? Can they see when you confront them? Have you ever loved that person enough to confront them? You know, their house is on fire. Who's going to put it out? By the way, the unsaved world expects us to confront them about their situation. You might say, "Well, they're not going to like me if I confront them." They may not like you, but let me say this. When you and I keep our mouth shut, we say we have the hope. Listen, we read this Bible. I don't know if you're like me. I read all through this Bible. It looks like judgment is coming. Now, if we really believe that, does it make sense for us to be intimidated at work, to be intimidated at home, around our family, our loved ones, be intimidated to be a light and to confront them? It doesn't make any sense. If we really believe that there's a heaven, there's a hell, we ought to be more bold. I believe that through this missions conference, God wants to call some of us, reveal his calling for the foreign mission field, without a doubt. But I believe that every single one of us ought to get a vision to see what God wants us to see. Wouldn't it be an awesome thing, church, if this time next year, missions conference next year, you had a disciple sitting next to you that you had led to Christ and you had trained them and they are now fully, fully involved in ministry here at church. And they're looking for someone else to reach. There's no reason why you shouldn't. It'd be an awesome thing if we had to go to double services in that new building someday. I think that would be honoring to Christ. But it won't happen unless you and I see what God wants us to see. Are you willing to be that man, that woman? You say, "Well, I'm not called to go overseas." No, but you're called right here at home. Thank you for being faithful and praying and giving, but you need to be faithful. You and I need to be faithful to see those people all around us. God put them in your path. God puts them in my path on purpose. Are you seeing? Are you warning? By the way, we warn and some will not listen. And that ought to break our hearts. I'm thinking about the lady that died this past week who is probably in hell. I'm really bothered by that. I'm sad. She would not receive that gift of salvation. I gave her money to pay for her medical bills. She accepted that right away. But she wouldn't receive the free gift of salvation. That bothers me. Church, let's make sure that we are that faithful watchman. Amen? Let's be that person. Let's be that person. Let's see and let's warn. Let's stand together.